Pastor Jason Cooley here with OPVC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. And I'm coming to you on a Thursday afternoon, and I've been thinking about this for a while, and I decided that it's time to talk about this. And I, you know, it's in the light of all the shootings and all the things that have taken place and everything else that's happened, I think to shed some true light upon the subject is important, and some biblical light on the subject is extremely important in this day and age that we live in. So I really think it is important for us to talk about these issues. And one of the issues I want to talk about, devils, drugs, and school shooters. And, you know, all the talk about gun control out there and everything else that's been ramped up, all of that discussion, really, it skews the argument, and it deflects what the real problem is. I mean, there's a lot of them. Number one, these people aren't saved. Number two, these people are on drugs. And number three, these people have devils. And when you're dealing with all three of those things, you basically come to the conclusion that, you know, you're dealing with people that are devil-possessed, drugged-up zombies, okay? And that's exactly what they are, and that's the problem. That's the real problem today. But let's look at some examples of this. I'm not going to get too in-depth. I have preached on this before on psychotropics. I've preached on sorcerers, who are the real drug dealers, pharmaceutical sorcerers, and things like that, and who are the real drug dealers and things of that nature. But I want to talk to you today a little bit. First, what I want to bring you is just the truth about who these people are of a lot of these shootings that have taken place. So at CCHR International, the Mental Health Watchdog, they have a list of 36 of the shootings that have taken place in the last, you know, 15, 20 years, whatever. They've taken 36 of these. And I think you'll be interested to figure out or to find out that there's a common denominator with all these. Now, I say that because of this. Because there's actually many people that own firearms out there, and they don't kill anybody with them. I go to the range and shoot all the time, and I've never shot anybody. Guns don't shoot themselves. They don't just fire off on themselves. Normal people that are thinking in their right mind don't kill people. They don't shoot people. And they certainly don't go shoot innocent life up or anything like that. It's totally inaccurate, the narrative that the media is pushing out there. And let me say this before I get started here with really giving you the facts of this. Nobody wants to talk about this issue because Big Pharma is way bigger than the NRA. Do you understand that? Way bigger than gun manufacturers, way bigger than any of that. The big pharmaceutical companies, they are huge, and, you know, nobody wants to really get into that. They don't really want to talk about that, and I understand why. I get it. I get the fact that they really don't have a huge desire to talk about those issues because of the lobby that's there and because of the amount of money that's being poured out there. But, you know, I don't hear any of these people crying and bawling about the drug issue that these kids are filled with, the drugs these kids are filled with. I never hear anything about that. And the reason you don't hear anything about that is because they want to blame guns. They want to use it as an agenda to take away your freedoms and your liberties. And do it under the guise that, well, you know, we just can't trust society with guns. We can't, and that's just preposterous. It's ridiculous. Okay, so let me read you some of these. This is all documented evidence. You can find this evidence. It's not hard to find it all. If you're looking, if you're interested, you'll find it fairly easy. Okay, Austin, Texas. May 1st, 2017, Kendricks J. White, 21 years old, stabbed four people with a machete. A machete-like hunting knife at the University of Texas, killing one and wounding three. The stabbings occurred within a one block area as the attacker calmly walked around the plaza, according to the chief of police. After he was arrested, White told the police he did not remember the attack. The police department said that White had recently been involuntarily committed in another city, and county records showed that he had been arrested and charged with a DWI. On April 4, 2017, when an officer spoke to him, White said he had taken two happy pills listed as antidepressant Zoloft. Antidepressants. People that get on antidepressants kill themselves or kill others many times. Tallahassee, Florida. November 20th, 2014, 31-year-old Myron May, a Florida State University alumni, opened fire in the school's library, wounding three before he was shot and killed by police. ABC Action News found a half-filled prescription for the anxiety drug hydroxyzine in his apartment after the shooting. In addition, according to May's friends, he had seen a psychologist and had been prescribed the antidepressant Wellbutrin and the ADHD drug Vyvanse. He also checked himself into the mental health center called Mesilla Valley Hospital around September 2014. Shortly after this, his friends discovered the antipsychotic Seroquel among his prescriptions. You getting to see the pattern here? Seattle, Washington, June 5th, 2014. 26-year-old Aaron Yabara, opened fire with a shotgun at Seattle Pacific University, killing one student and wounding two others. Yabara planned to kill as many people as possible and then kill himself. In 2012, Yabara reported that he had been prescribed the antidepressant Prozac and the antipsychotic Risperdal. A report from his counselor in December of 2013 said that he was taking Prozac at the time and planned to continue to meet with his psychiatrist and therapist as needed. His lawyer also said that Yabara had a long history of mental health issues for which he was taking prescribed drugs for at the time of the shooting. Now I'm going to get into explain some of these drugs and the biblical aspects of these, of this sorcery, this witchcraft. I'm going to explain that, okay, in a little while. I'll explain that to you, but I want to give you some more accounts of this. I want it to sink into your mind here, okay? I want you to think about this a little bit before we continue on and I explain the biblical aspects of this. Seattle, Washington, we talked about that one. Milford, Connecticut. April 25th, 2014, 16-year-old Chris Plaskin stabbed Marin Sanchez, also 16, to death in a stairwell at Jonathan Law High School after she turned down his prom invitation. According to classmates and a former close friend, Chris was taking drugs for ADHD. Sparks, Nevada. October 21st, 2013, 12-year-old Jose Reyes opened fire at Sparks Middle School, killing a teacher and wounding two classmates before committing suicide. The investigation revealed that he had been seeing a psychiatrist and had a generic version of Prozac, fluoxetine, in his system at the time of his death. You do realize that it's not the access to firearms that causes people to shoot people and kill people. It's meds that are doing it and devils and drugs that are doing it. Okay, understand that. Devils and drugs that are doing that. That's the case, and that's what we have here. And I'll show you how the devils interact with those drugs in a little while here. So, St. Louis, Missouri, January 15th, 2013. 34-year-old Sean Johnson walked into the Stevens Institute of Business and Arts campus and shot the school's financial aid director once in the chest, then shot himself in the torso. Johnson had been taking prescribed drugs for undisclosed mental illness. These doctors are loopy, and they're drug dealers, and they're sending people in. They're giving people this medicine, and people are going nuts on this medicine. You can't play with drugs. Opens up the third eye, causes a lot of trouble. All right, let's see. Snohomish County, Washington, October 24th, 2011. A 15-year-old girl went to the high school where police alleged that she stabbed a girl as many as 25 times just before the start of school and then stabbed another girl who tried to help her injured friend. Prior to the attack, the girl had been taking medication and seeking a psychiatrist. Court documents said the girl was being treated for depression. Starting to see a pattern? Plano's France, or Plano's, I don't know how you say it, I'm not French. December 13th, 2010, a 17-year-old youth held 20 preschool children and their teacher hostage for hours at Charles Furrer Preschool. The teen was reported to be on medication for depression. See a pattern? Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. September 21st, 2011, 14-year-old Christian Helms had two pipe bombs in his backpack when he shot and wounded Soxatie High School resource police officer. However, the officer was able to stop the student before he could do any further damage. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? He had a firearm, probably. Evidence showed that he was planning an attack similar to the Columbine High School shooting and had even made a list of who he was going to kill. Helms had been taking drugs for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and depression. You're messing with the children's minds. I'll get to that in a little while. Huntsville, Alabama. You know, they talk about Christians and how Christianity is a mental disorder and all these other things that you heard on The View and other things like this. Let me tell you something. You want to know what the mental disorder is? Drugs. Devils and drugs that these people are on and what they're taking. I'll give you some statistics of military and ex-military and give you the same type of statistics. I don't know how long this is going to go, but I'll give you as much as I can on it. Because I want you to see the pattern here. I want you to see the multi-billion upon billion upon billion dollars of industry. And you'll find out why this isn't stopped. See, the NRA and other gun associations, Gun Owners of America, they are just a target for people. My firearm is just a target for people. But the real problem is the drugs that they're taking. And that they're doping our kids up and our nation up. The sorcery, the witchcraft that has bewitched our nation and our children. Kick God out, bring drugs in, you invite the devils in, and that's the problem. That's the truth. That's an inconvenient truth. All right, let's see here. Huntsville, Alabama, February 5th, 2010, 15-year-old Hamad Memon shot and killed another Discover Middle School student, Todd Brown. Memon had a history of being treated for ADHD and depression. He was taking the antidepressant Zoloft. Are you catching this? How antidepressants ain't working too well. Can't mess with devils and drugs and think it's going to work out for you. And other drugs for the conditions, it says. He had been seeing a psychiatrist and a psychologist. Man, I'll tell you something right now. I'm not a doctor. I am a preacher, and I'm vehemently opposed to psychologists and psychiatrists because I have this book right here. All right? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou discouraged? You know, the Bible talks about that, about being cast down, about being discouraged, and asks why. Hope thou in God. Okay. Kahoki, Finland. I probably said that wrong, but that's okay. September 23rd, 2008. 22-year-old culinary student Maddie Sari shot and killed 9 students and a teacher and wounded another student before killing himself. Sari was taking an SSRI Xanax. He was also seeing a psychologist. Man, I think you better get to the Bible and quit seeing those people. Those people are nuts, and they put you on nutty drugs, and that's what causes problems. April 24, 2008, 17-year-old Jesse Karzilis attacked the Fresno High School's officer, hitting him in the head with a baseball bat. After knocking the officer down, the officer shot Karzilis in self-defense, killing him. Karzilis had been prescribed Lexapro and Geodon, and his autopsy showed that he had a high dose of antidepressant Lexapro in his blood that could have caused him to be paranoid, according to the coroner. DeKalb, Illinois, February 14, 2008, 27-year-old Stephen Kazmierzak shot and killed 5 people and wounded 21 others before killing himself in a Northern Illinois University auditorium. According to his girlfriend, he had recently been taking the prescribed drugs Prozac, Xanax, and Ambien, but had stopped taking Prozac 3 weeks before the shooting. Toxicology results showed that he still had trace amounts of Xanax in his system. He had been seeing a psychiatrist. Finland again. November 7, 2007, 18-year-old Finnish gunman Pekka Erik Ovinen had been taking antidepressants before he killed eight people and wounded a dozen more at Jokela High School in southern Finland, then committed suicide on antidepressants. Texas, 17-year-old Felicia McMillan returned to her former Robert E. Lee High School campus and stabbed a male student and wounded a principal with a knife. McMillan had been on drugs for depression and had just taken them the night before the incident. Cleveland, Ohio, October 10, 2007. 14-year-old Asa Kuhn stormed through his school with a gun in each hand, shooting and wounding four before taking his own life. Kuhn had been prescribed the antidepressant Trazodone. Sudbury, Massachusetts, 2007, 16-year-old John Odgren stabbed another student to death with a large kitchen knife in a boys' bathroom at Lincoln Sudbury Regional High School. In court, his father testified that Odgren was prescribed the drug Ritalin. North Vernon, Indiana, December 4, 2006, 16-year-old Travis Roberson stabbed another Jennings County High School student in the neck, nearly severing an artery. Roberson was in withdrawal from Wellbutrin, which he had stopped taking days before the attack. Hillsboro, North Carolina, October 30th, 2006. 19-year-old Alvaro Rafael Castillo shot and killed his father, then drove at Orange High School, where he opened fire. Two students were injured in the shooting, which ended when school personnel tackled him. His mother said he was on drugs for depression. Red Lake, Minnesota, March 21st, 2005, 16-year-old Jeff Weiss, on Prozac, shot and killed his grandfather and his grandfather's girlfriend, then went on to school to the Red Lake Indian Reservation, where he shot dead five students, a security guard and a teacher, and wounded seven before killing himself on Prozac. Greenbush, New York, February 9, 2004, 16-year-old John Romano strolled into his high school in East Greenbush and opened fire with a shotgun. Special education teacher Michael Benet was hit in the leg. Romano had been taking the anti-anxiety drug Xanax. He had previously spent time in a psychiatric care facility. Red Lion, Pennsylvania, February 2, 2001, 56-year-old William Michael Stankwenzik, entered North Hopewell Winterstone Elementary School with a machete, leaving three adults and 11 children injured. He was taking four different drugs for depression and anxiety. Weeks before the attacks, Akita, Japan, June 8, 2001, 37-year-old Mamoru Takuma wielding a 6-inch knife, slipped into an elementary school and stabbed eight first and second graders to death while wounding at least 15 other pupils and teachers. He then turned the knife on himself but suffered only superficial wounds. He later told interrogators that before the attack, he had taken 10 times his normal dose of antidepressants. Police said he had been under the care of a psychiatrist. Waluk, Washington, 16-year-old Corey, April 10, 2001, Corey took a rifle to his high school and held 23 classmates and a teacher hostage. 3 weeks earlier, his doctor had switched Bades-Guard's prescription from Paxil to Effexor. The morning of the incident, his dosage of Effexor had been increased. Bades-Guard said he had no memory of the incident. El Cajon, California. 18-year-old Jason Hoffman on the antidepressant Celexa and Effexor opened fire on his classmates, wounding three students and two teachers at Granite Hills High School. He had been seeing a psychiatrist before the shooting. March 7, 2001, Williamsport, Pennsylvania. 14-year-old Elizabeth Bush was taking the antidepressant Prozac when she shot a fellow student, wounding one. I mean, the list goes on and on. There's so many more. There's 36 total here. I mean, I could keep going, but I think 21 of them is enough to show you exactly the pattern that we have here. If you want more, you can go to cchrint.org and read all of them. Now, that, I think, lays out a good, outline here for what's really going on. Now let's get to some Bible. Revelation chapter 18, verse number 23, the Bible says, "And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." The end time sin is sorcery. Pharmaceutica, pharmakia, however you want to say it. That's sorcery. Revelation 9:21, "Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries." End time sin, sorceries, pharmakia. That's the same thing, friend. The Bible talks about the abomination and the golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Jeremiah 51:7 says, "Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad." So the question, who are the real sorcerers? Who are they? Right? Who are the real sorcerers? Are they the pharmaceutical companies? Right? Pharmaceutical. I preached a sermon called Pharmaceutical Euthanasia one time. Right? Let's talk about antidepressants a little bit. Let's talk about it from the Word of God. You know, the Word of God really does talk about sorcery, and it talks about depression. And I've preached a lot on depression. There's four or five sermons you can download and look at. Go to sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley or go to my YouTube page, or go to our YouTube page, Old Paths Baptist MN. And if you go there, Old Paths Baptist Church or OPBC Online, it'll come up the same. It doesn't matter. You can find out that information. But America's children so drunk today? Why are they so drunk today with pharmaceutical drugs? Why are Americans so drunk with that? Why do we have this state of depression that we have today? Well, there's a lot of reasons for that, and I'll probably preach a separate sermon on that sometime. I've preached on depression, but just why do these kids, some of the reasons these kids do that? Well, what does the Bible say? Psalms 42:5 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." David's problem must have been that he needed a pill, right? No. Oh, listen, preacher, those are Bible times, right? These are different times now. Things are harder now. No, they're not harder. We have it easier. Maybe that's one of the problems. You know, there are people that are completely depressed today, and they put them on these drugs. A lot of times they need somebody to talk to. They need to get out and get some exercise. There's a lot of reasons. I've talked about that. You go listen to those sermons. But I want to talk to you about these antidepressants a little bit, and then we'll get into some more scriptures, some more other talk about that. But I want to inform you on some things that people aren't going to talk to you about. Patients who take selective serotonin inhibitors such as Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft may experience side effects such as violent behavior. This is from drugwatch.com/suicide. They may experience side effects such as violent behavior, mania, or aggression, which can all lead to suicide. What begins as withdrawing from friends and activities and a loss of interest in work can escalate to harming oneself. In clinical trials and public use, there have been cases where antidepressant users have thought about, attempted, or committed suicide. Now, that's not just suicide. Now, it's other cases of killing people. That's what we're seeing. All these people are on these antidepressants. They're on these drugs, these psychotropics. And it's dangerous, folks. it's psychotropic suicide. You're asking for people to die when you put them on these drugs. Antidepressants have also been shown to have other dangerous side effects, including severe birth defects when a woman takes the drug during pregnancy. In fact, dozens of women who take antidepressants during pregnancy have filed lawsuits after their children suffered birth defects. Another case altogether, not really important to us right now. How about this, though? Prescribing antidepressants has become common practice, with 164 million prescriptions written for antidepressants in 2008 alone. Sales of SSRIs specifically increased by 32% from 2000 to 2004 to a combined total of $10.9 billion. That's a big business, friend. The nations have gotten rich. The merchants of the earth have gotten rich off of trafficking drugs to common citizens. They're no better than the street thugs on the street. They're probably worse, because you think because the FDA approves it, it's okay to do. Unfortunately, SSRIs, a relatively new class of antidepressants, have been associated with an increased risk of suicide. In tests of Prozac, Zoloft, Paxil, Celexa, Lexapro, and Luvox on children with major depressive disorder, obsessive-compulsive disorder, and other psychiatric disorders, about 4% of patients experienced suicidal thinking, behavior, or attempts. In the placebo group, 2% of the participants experienced similar problems. Listen to this. I've seen this before, by the way. Antidepressants have been linked to akathisia, which is extreme restlessness and an inability to sit still. The discomfort can be so great that suicide becomes a welcome alternative to feeling this type of agitation. Sometimes it's misdiagnosed as worsening depression, so medication dosage is increased, causing the restlessness to persist. At least one antidepressant can have a stimulant effect, similar to amphetamines, which can lead to suicide. It's scary stuff, folks. It's not good stuff. According to published material, there was only one suicidal act in the trials of Zoloft in children, yet it was later revealed that the Food and Drug Administration had documented 6 suicidal acts in the trials, according to the Center for Drug Evaluation and Research. Additionally, 17 children dropped out of the trials because of serious adverse events. Listen, there's so much that can be said about these. Another study documented, the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry found that 8.1% of 533 people admitted to the adult psychiatric inpatient service at Yale New Haven Hospital presented with psychosis or mania related to antidepressants. Psychological Medicine reported, the North Wales Department of Psychological Medicine reported on randomized, double-blind, crossover study of sertraline in healthy volunteers who were not depressed. He found that many individuals developed adverse mental and neurological effects, including 2 severely disturbed cases. In one case, a 30-year-old woman's emotions changed, making her irritable and insensitive. She became preoccupied with suicide. In another case, a 28-year-old woman developed feelings of aggression and threatened a teenage boy. In 1990, the FDA considered risk of antidepressants increasingly suicidal in public hearing, but does not find enough evidence to change labels. See how that works? In 2006, the FDA recommends that children should not take Zoloft, as it increases suicidal thinking or behavior in 1 out of 50 young patients. The FDA advises doctors to observe pediatric patients taking antidepressants once a week face-to-face. If you got to give somebody something that you have to see them face-to-face once a week, you better quit giving it to them. It's not good for them. FDA adds, in 2007, the FDA adds to the black box warning on certain antidepressants, cautioning that increased suicidal thoughts and behavior are a possible side effect of medications for adults ages 18 to 24 during initial treatment. 2010, a study of 9 years of data published in 2010 shows that the suicide risk is the same across SSRI drug types. So why are you giving depressed people drugs that will make them kill themselves? Well, now that's a good question, isn't it? You know, psychotropics cause people to die. Psychotropics cause suicides. I want you to listen to some of these statistics here. 3% of the U.S. Army is on prescription medications, and nearly a quarter of those are on psychotropic drugs. Does that make you feel good? Make you feel safe? In 2010, the Pentagon spent $280 million on psychiatric drugs. There are now over 8,000 suicides each year by U.S. soldiers and veterans. That's over 22 a day. 33% of those suicides are attributed to medication side effects. That means medications are killing more U.S. soldiers and veterans than Al-Qaeda. Think about that one. . 500% more soldiers abuse prescription drugs than illegal street drugs. Under the Obama administration, the number of veterans waiting for VA care has risen from 11,000 in 2009 to 245,000 today. More active duty soldiers die from suicide than from combat. 350 dead last year. 349. The number of prescriptions for Ritalin and Adderall written for active duty soldiers has increased 1,000% in the last 5 years. Why? Money. Only 1% of Americans have served in the Middle East, but veterans of combat there make up 20% of all suicides in the United States. The suicide rate of active duty soldiers in the Civil War was only 9 to 15 per 100,000 soldiers. The suicide rate of active duty U.S. soldiers in the Middle East is 23 per 100,000. And casualty rates were far higher in the Civil War, meaning the Civil War was more psychologically traumatic. Anyway, we could go on and on with those statistics. I'm not really talking about, you know, that. I just want you to show death. I guess think about drugs. Think about devil's drugs, death, and mass shooters. And this is what you have. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta, former Defense Secretary Leon Panetta calls military suicides an epidemic. Of all branches of the military, the Army was the highest number of suicides each year, almost 400% more than Marines. Most active duty soldiers who take psychiatric medications consume a combination of 3 to 5 prescriptions. And we wonder how these guys get addicted to it. We wonder how that happens. The use of prescription medications by active duty soldiers is largely unregulated. Soldiers are given a bottle of meds and sent into combat. If they run out of meds, they are given a refill, no questions asked. Think about that. The mainstream media says the answer to lowering suicides of veterans is to take away their guns. You heard that before? Oh, to stop mass shooters, we need to take away guns. No, there's a common denominator between ex-military suicide or military suicides and children and mass shooters and school shooters. What is that? Drugs. Drugs. Pharmakia. Sorcery. That's the connection. The mainstream media says the answer to lowering suicides of veterans is to take away their guns so they cannot shoot themselves. This is the logical equivalent of trying to fix your car's engine by removing the check engine light. All done now. Fixed. The Pentagon is initiating new research in 2013 to try to figure out why psychiatric medications cause soldiers to commit suicide. The research involves tracking brain activity by attaching electrodes to the skull. 1/3 of military suicides are committed by soldiers who have never seen combat. See the connection between school shooters, military suicides, drugs, death. All they that hate me love death. So the Bible says. In the last year, the military wrote over 54,000 prescriptions for Seroquel to soldiers, and all those prescriptions were off-label, meaning the intended use has never been approved by the FDA as safe or effective. Which they don't care, because the FDA is a joke anyway. Dr. Bart Billings, a retired Army colonel and former military psychologist, refers to psychiatric drugs as chemical lobotomy for soldiers. Oh, now that's interesting. You know what lobotomy does? You know what that means? That means I turn them into zombies. So they're just killing machines, and I drug them up so they can kill people easier. You understand? oh, wait a minute. That's military. Now let's talk about children. And I think you're going to see the same signs. You ready? Pay attention. You'll see the same thing. Children are given these drugs. Psychotropic drugs are prescribed to children in the United States at three times the rate of children in Europe, according to one of the first studies to rigorously compare such prescription patterns between different countries. There is significantly greater use of atypical antipsychotics and selective serotonin in SSRIs, type antidepressants for child mental health treatment in the U.S. than in Western Europe. Lead researcher Julie Zito says. That's at naturalnews.com. Zito and colleagues from the University of Maryland School of Pharmacy examined the prescription of psychotropic drugs, including stimulants such as Ritalin and antidepressants such as Prozac, to more than 600,000 people under the age of 20 in the United States, Germany, and the Netherlands between 1999 and 2000. They found that 6.7% of children in the United States, 2.9% of those in the Netherlands, and 2% of those in Germany were taking at least one psychotropic drug at the time. Among U.S. children between the ages of 5 and 9, the rate was more than 8%. We are raising a generation of zombies. Couple that with no attachment to their family, with fathers and mothers shoving their children off to daycare and to schools and to everybody else and not loving their children. Natural affection. What is the sin of the end times? Let's look at it. What's the Bible say? You know, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, the Bible says. But the Bible talks about perilous times and perilous men. And this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Without natural affection, you give them drugs, you take the natural affection away. Mom ain't hugging them, dad ain't hugging them, nobody's hugging them, nobody's loving them. And you send them out there to school somewhere, and you tell them, raise yourself, and mom and dad aren't at home, and mom's not a keeper at home, she's not there, she's not taking care of them. What's going to happen? And you put them on dope. Because you're not loving them. You're not taking care of them. You're not watching them. You're not caring for them. And then you want to blame it on the gun. No, it ain't the gun. It could be a knife. It could be anything. It could be drugs. It doesn't matter. You're drugging them up. You're turning them into zombies. You're not giving them natural affection. And boom, there you go. It's a recipe for disaster. It's an end times, perilous times that come. Exactly what it is. Amen. All right, let's move on here. Let's see here. Among U.S. children between the ages of 5 and 9, the rate was more than 8%, or four times the European rate. The use of more than one drug at a time by U.S. children was also widespread. Looking specifically at different classes of medications, the researchers found that U.S. children were prescribed antidepressants and stimulants at three or more times the rate of children in Europe, and the antipsychotics at between 1.5 and 2.2 times the European rate. In the United States, more than 75% of psychotropic drugs were prescribed to children off-label for uses not approved of by the FDA. You get that at naturalnews.com. Why are these drugs being prescribed to children for other that are when they're not approved for other uses? Why? Your children don't need a pill. They need parents. They need Jesus Christ. They need less sugar. They need discipline. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 23, verse number 13, withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. What is causing a dramatic spike in the number of suicides among psychiatric outpatients in one of the Illinois' most prestigious psychiatric programs? That's what researchers would like to find out. though a number of observers think the phenomenon could be related to the medications themselves. Officials with Northwestern Memorial Hospital, which is located in Chicago, and while they're concerned about this disturbing trend, they offered no further details about the hospital's response nor any specific numbers of outpatients who have committed suicide, except to say they have taken steps to identify patients at greater risk in order to increase the already high level of support provided to all our patients. The Chicago Tribune said sources it spoke with claimed 7 hospital outpatients since December have killed themselves. The paper said it was able to identify 5 of those 7 through interviews and government records. You can find that information at psychiatric patients at naturalnews.com/psychiatric patients. A Swedish writer has accused the National Board of Health and Welfare of covering up evidence suggesting a connection between psychiatric drugs and suicide. Now, we're talking about suicide, but just think of death. I want you to think of the same thing. Just think of death. It doesn't matter if you kill yourself or you're killing somebody else. It's death. These drugs put death on the mind. Right? They bring up death. The devils use these drugs. They put them in a state so devils can afflict them. Recently, the NBHW released the first report analyzing the 365 suicides recorded in 2006. Not a single word is written about the most compelling fact. Well over 80% of the persons killing themselves were treated with psychiatric drugs. According to the data via a Freedom of Information Act request, more than 80% of the 367 suicides had been receiving psychiatric medications. More than half of these were receiving antidepressants, while more than 60% were receiving either antidepressants or antipsychotics. There is no mention of this either in the NBHW paper or in a major Swedish report about the healthcare and suicides. It is important to note that nearly every school shooting that has happened in the United States over the last decade has been conducted by young males who were taking antidepressant drugs. The drugs not only cause suicidal behavior, they also seem to promote extreme violence toward other individuals. In most school shooting cases, the young men committing the violence also committed suicide after killing classmates and teachers. These are classic signs of antidepressants. Do you see that? These drug dealers, they're pushing death. These drugs that people are taking are pushing death, friend. They're destroying people's lives. I'm going to look up this article here real quick and see if I can find it. Just give me a second here. Chemically, 80% of suicide victims took antidepressant drugs. Yep, I read that already to you. I think these are important facts, you know. The dangers of Prozac. My goodness, there's so many. Suicide and violent behavior. You know, Dr. Fred Bauman has spoken extensively about the link between antidepressants and violent behavior and accused the drug companies of lying to the public about depression in order to sell more antidepressant drugs. He preached an article in the Op-Ed News regarding the he said this, regarding the Northern Illinois University shooter, Stephen, this was back in 2008, doctors said it's almost impossible to tell whether the spasms of violence stem in part from the drug reactions or the underlying illness. One of his girlfriends said he took Prozac to battle anxiety. Diseases of the brain like Lou Gehrig's disease and other things are the province of neurology. This was assured in 1948 when the two specialists. So, you know, there's a difference in somebody that has like a disease and somebody that's been medically induced and, I believe, taken over by devils. I believe it's a sign of devil possession. When you want to kill, when you want to, when you have death, the maniac of Gadara, you know, what did he do? He cut himself. He hung out among the dead in the tombs. He was kind of crazy, obviously. He had devils, you know? And we understand that. Think for a moment of the ten. I want you to listen to this. Think for a moment of the tens of thousands of children court ordered to take psychiatric drugs for diagnoses such as ADHD. conduct an oppositional defiant disorders, lest their parents, without trial, be pronounced medically negligent and threatened with the loss of custody of the child, their child. Their child whose emotional life they are no longer allowed to direct. This is what it's come to in the U.S. As in the University of Northern Illinois case, almost all of the grade school, high school, and college shooters have been psychiatric patients with psychiatric diseases, not real diseases, on psychiatric drugs, real exogenous chemical compounds, real brain and body altering poisons, real diseases. Nor is the issue of whether they still have the poison in their system or not critical. All psychiatric drugs damage the previously normal brain and body. This is from opednews.com, okay? This is how after the subjective symptoms for which they are treatment, even if stopped, they have damaged and thus altered the previously normal individual. Eric Harris, one of the two Columbine shooters, had been on Zoloft. Also, Prozac-like. There's no such thing as the chemical imbalance portrayed in the Zoloft ad. There's no such thing as the balancing of that chemical imbalance as portrayed in Zoloft. And yet the FDA, as much as a part of the pharmaceutical industry as psychiatry, lets them tell us these lies. Harris was denied enlistment in the armed forces. They knew something the public did not. So you understand this? These SSRI drugs, these pharmaceutical drugs are... they're being given to infant, toddlers, and children in the U.S. and are being pushed hard by psychiatry and the pharmaceutical cartel around the world. Over 80% of persons killing themselves are on treatment for psychiatric drugs. Listen, this information's not hard to find. It's not hard to find. These drugs are damaging. These drugs are changing. They're altering. These drugs are altering the minds of these people. And sometimes forever. Sometimes forever. It's a very dangerous thing. It's a very dangerous thing. So how do they work? Antidepressants or psychotropic drugs most commonly work by attaching themselves to the neurotransmitters in the brain. Neurotransmitters are the naturally occurring substances in the brain that occupy the space between the synapses of the nerve endings and allow the electrical energy to jump the gap between nerves. Of the 30 or so neurotransmitters that have been identified, researchers have discovered associations between clinical depression and the function of three primary ones: serotonin, norepinephrine, and dopamine. These three neurotransmitters function within structures of the brain that regulate emotions, reactions to stress, physical drives of sleep, appetite, and sexuality. Antidepressants are chemically engineered to raise the levels of serotonin in the brain in order to elevate the mood of the individual. Since most of the production of serotonin occurs in the pineal gland, what do we know about the pineal gland? What have the charismatics said about it? What have the witches said about it? What have the occultists said about it? What have they all said about the pineal gland? Well, that's that third eye that opens you up, right? It opens you up to devils. All of the cults understand that. All of the, you know, the yoga instructors, all of those people, they understand all of that, those things. The charismatics want to open up that pineal gland, that third eye. They smack them on the forehead, right? All of those cults do the same thing. I've preached on that before. You can go back and listen to that. But let's listen about the pineal gland and how that works. When we start to understand how the pineal gland affects our minds, we will also begin... well, let me back up here. Antidepressants are chemically engineered to raise the levels of serotonin in the brain in order to elevate the mood. Since most of the production of serotonin occurs in the pineal gland, this tiny cone-shaped gland subsequently becomes the target of the drugs. The pineal gland is located in the diametrical center of the brain and has been touted by mystics as the organ of spiritual perception. Remember I told you devils and drugs? When certain of these drugs are ingested or injected into a person's body, they stimulate this gland to produce a euphoric effect in their mood and thinking patterns. When we start to understand how the pineal gland affects our minds, we will also begin to see why these drugs are so dangerous. This little gland sits directly beneath the two brain halves at the top of the spinal cord and works in conjunction with the hypothalamus and pituitary gland to collectively control most of the endocrine secretions in the human body. Mystics have long believed that if the pineal gland is triggered, it can catapult the person into a higher spiritual realm. Where is that? That's, what does the Bible say in Ephesians? Satan, who is he? He is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And if he is the prince of the power of the air, then what does that mean? It means that there is, when you open that third eye, you are opening up yourself to devils. That's what you're doing. You're opening yourself up to devils. Mystics have long believed that if the pineal gland is triggered, it can catapult the person into a higher spiritual realm. Psychotropic drugs target this gland and endeavor to raise the mood levels of depressed people up to a higher realm. Hence, it opens them up to devils. When these drugs activate the pineal gland, the door is open to a spirit realm where demons are anxiously awaiting to invade the body. Adolf Hitler was a major believer in this theory and used drugs frequently to enter the spirit world and get his direction. LSD was developed in 1938 by Albert Hofmann during the Third Reich reign and Hitler's rise to power and insanity. The following quote shows that Hitler used these mind-altering drugs and negative legacy he left behind proves a vivid example of the effects of them. History records that he suffered from depression and ended up committing suicide. I don't believe that. I think he died an old man. But anyway, Hitler was enthusiastic enough to enhance his occult powers further. He was already using some meditation techniques he learned back in the East, but was too slow of progress for him. Ernest Pretzky, a book dealer, introduced Hitler to a psychedelic drug containing mescaline and peyote. This produced clairvoyant visions that made Hitler believe he had opened the doors to the reins of supernatural powers, powers he could use for his own purpose. In reality, using drugs to raise mood levels is not only dangerous, but it is a form of idolatry that substitutes pharmaceuticals for what only the Holy Spirit can accomplish in the true sense. When people enter this euphoric state, they are much more prone to erratic behavior because of the openness of their minds to the influence of devils. Here's a report on the effect of psychotropic drugs in the pineal gland. The possibility of the pineal gland involvement as a part of the neuroendocrine dysfunction in some of the psychiatric diseases has received special attention in recent years. The discovery of a cascade of receptors and the action of many psychoactive drugs on the pineal gland supports the concept that the pineal gland can be considered as a suitable model system for assessing the action of psychotropic drugs. Psychotropic drugs, particularly antidepressants, both tricyclics and monoamine oxidase inhibitors, when administered either to animals or to patients suffering from depressive illness, affects the pineal gland function and melatonin concentration. This raises the ability to alter the pineal gland function and melatonin secretion. The occurrence of seasonal affective disorders and their response to bright light treatment implicate melatonin as a biochemical marker for these diseases, states. In view of these facts, it can be suggested that the pineal gland does play an important role in etiology of mental disease, especially affective disorders. Psychotropic drug manufacturers purposely target the pineal gland in order to alter its function. They're doing it on purpose, and what I'm telling you, they are the sorcerers of the earth that the Bible warned us about. Pharmakia, pharmacy. These SSRIs change the brain's activity in this vital gland by increasing its melatonin secretion. In effect, limiting the uptake of serotonin takes the low spots out of a person's mood, but melatonin, on the other hand, raises the level of brain activity to a euphoric state. The goal of these drugs is to balance out the low spots of raising the whole level of brain activity. Whether it's Prozac, Ritalin, or self-prescribed illicit drugs, the effect is basically the same. In layman's terms, it is to attain a high through a process of changing the action of these neurotransmitters. You can find that article at www.lmci.org/articles, article 329. One report says this: my 16-year-old daughter is currently taking 4 different antidepressants. She is currently taking Cymbalta, Lamotrigine, Seroquel, and Ziprasidone. She has been depressed for a few years, but it suddenly got worse since she started to take Ziprasidone. She has been taking it for 2 weeks now. She informed us that she is hearing voices telling her to harm herself. She has experimented in cutting in the past, but yesterday she did it to an extreme resulting in numerous cuts to her arm. Is taking these 4 medications together a detriment to her mindset? Please help. That was a question that somebody asked. Well, let's look at the Bible. Mark chapter 5, verse number 2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always at night and day he was in the mountains and in tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. See the correlation? My sister talked of hearing voices telling her to kill herself and others when she was on the medicine. Since March 2003, I've been diagnosed with OCD panic disorder and major depressive disorder with psychosis, all by different docs. I'm currently taking 40 milligrams of Prozac, 15 milligrams of Zyprexa, 1 milligram of Xanax. My panic disorder and OCD have gotten much better, but the voices I'm hearing have not gotten any better. Can these voices be caused by BPD, or do I have something else like schizophrenia? I never heard any voices until I started an antidepressant. Luke 8:33 says, then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. The pigs got the devils and they died. Catching that? They wanted death. How about this one? Lithium can cause several side effects, and some of them may become serious. They include loss of coordination, excessive thirst, frequent urination, blackouts, seizures, slurred speech, fast, slow, irregular, or pounding heartbeat, hallucinations, seeing things or hearing voices that do not exist. Well, they exist. They exist. What you're seeing is into the spirit realm. Remember what I said? They open the pineal gland, the third eye. Third eye research, you can look into that. It's all right there. That's wicked. It's satanic. I'm just telling you. I'm not telling you to study Satan or anything, but I'm just telling you, don't study satanic principles. But the point is, what's out there is the third eye. And the Third Eye Institute is like, they talk about openly opening that up and getting into the spirit realm. The Masons talked about it. Manly P. Hall talked about it. The other cults talk about it. All right? Understand, it's real. Lithium can cause several side effects. So that's one: hallucinations, change in vision, itching, rash, swelling of the eyes, face, lips, tongue, throat, hands, feet, ankles, lower legs. Instead of denying the delusions and hallucinations experienced by her patients, a clinical psychologist describes the transformative and healing power gained by accepting these voices as real. So they're inviting the devils in by doing the drugs. That prince of the power of the air, that spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Pharmakia, remember? Pharmacy. They invite the devils in. Right? And then this lady says, embrace it. People frequently hear voices telling them what to do and do not follow them. After all, you tell your patients to do all kinds of things and they ignore you too. voices may be positive and helpful. Sometimes voices may be experienced in a very positive way, as a form of instinct, intuition, or guidance. For example, the morning of September 11, 2001, a woman reported hearing a voice that said, "Get off this train now." She decided to exit the subway, one station before her usual one near the World Trade Center. Don't you wish sometimes you had a spirit guide to help keep you from harm? End quote. That's what she said. You telling me them those psychologists, psychiatrists aren't devil-possessed people putting people on drugs to get them into a state of euphoria, to get them into a state of that, and they're listening to spirits. She's telling them to listen to spirits. And the drugs put you in the state to listen to them. Get it? That's how it works. And by the way, all of the Aleister Crowley, Manly P. Hall, all of these people that did drugs said the same thing. You got it? Witches, you got to, in order to get that third eye open, in order to get to that spirit realm, you got to get on drugs. Now the drugs, the pharmakia, is everywhere. And what's the end time sin again? Sorcery. And what wouldn't they repent of? Sorcery. They go on to say, hearers may learn strategies to be more empathetic, but also more assertive with the voices. Thinking of voices as though they are family members, some pleasant, critical, provocative, distant, chattering, or argumentative, can help a hearer to make sense of them. Understanding the nature of a voice or voices can help hearers set limits, particularly with abusive voices, such as asking the voice to speak more respectfully or constructively. End quote. This lady is telling you to talk to devils. She's telling those people that she's put on drugs, go ahead and talk to devils. That's what she's telling them. That's Jessica Arnella, PhD in New York City, clinical psychologist. She's telling them, embrace them, talk to them, try to control them. You know, that's the trick of the devil. You can't control the devil. Look what these kids are doing, how they're shooting people. Watch how they're shooting people and how they're killing people, and then you'll understand you can't control devils. When you get on drugs and you open up that third eye and you're in that spirit realm, you can't control that. You can't control that. Those voices aren't helpful, and they're deceiving. Satan is deceptive. Satan is deceiving these young people and telling them that if they kill, if they do this, it's going to make them happy. Why? Because they have families without natural affection. Their families are detached from them. They got no pastors, no churches, no people that love them and care for them and spend time with them. Look, how do you not know your son's a maniac? How do you not know that? How have you not spent enough time with your boy? How have you not? I'm telling you, we're losing our boys. We're losing our young people. And the reason we're losing our boys to the world and to witchcraft and wickedness is because they're throwing them on drugs. They're ignoring them and not have anything to do with them. And we're losing our children. Because there's no natural affection, and then throw them on drugs, open up the pineal gland, get the third eye open, and they're gonna do whatever. Whatever those devils tell them to do. And when the devils are done with them, what do most of them do? Kill themselves. That's why. That's why these kids are doing that. It ain't guns, it's devils and drugs. Devils and drugs, death and depression. Because parents are ignoring their children. Don't you tell me you knew what your kid was doing. Don't you tell me you knew what your kid was doing if he's like that. Nah, if you're spending enough time with your boy, if you're spending enough time with your daughters, if you're spending enough time with these kids, that ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. They're not going to flip script like that. If you're not throwing them on drugs and getting devils in them and everything else, you're inducing devils into them. You know? I just want to look at some of these here. I've got a few more things here from another thing that, let's see. Okay. Minnesota researchers find that nearly 70% of Americans are on at least one prescription drug, and more than half receive at least two prescriptions, reports CBS Atlanta. The study is uncovering valuable information to researchers about U.S. prescriptions. However, the second most common prescription was for antidepressants. That suggests mental health is a huge issue and is something we should focus on. And the third most common drugs were opiates, which is a bit concerning considering their addicting nature. Nearly one in four women ages 50 to 64 were found to be on an antidepressant, with 13% of the overall population also on antidepressants. Think about that. 70% of the people in the study were being prescribed antibiotics, and 13 were on pain-killing opiates. Think about that. That's crazy. Antidepressants and opiates were most common among young and middle-aged adults. We already talked about what they do. The percentage of people who took at least one prescription drug in the last month increased 44% in 1999 to 2000 to 48% in 2007 and 2008, Mayo Clinic reports. You know, this pharmakia, it means sorcery, magical arts, often found in connection with idolatry and fostered by it. Pharmacy comes from the same root word, the deceptions and seductions of idolatry. In sorcery, the use of drugs, whether simple or potent, was generally accompanied by incantations and appeals to occult powers with the provision of various charms, amulets, etc., professedly designed to keep the applicant or patient from the attention and power of devils, but actually to impress the applicant with the mysterious resources and powers of the sorcerer. Once you go to a sorcerer and they give you drugs, they're not going to make the depression stop. Oh, no. What they're doing, what the doctors are doing, is giving you medicine and opening you up to devils. Right now, we have a nation full of addicts. The Bible says, "For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." Look, the end times, it's not going to be hard for people to fall for the Antichrist. Strong delusion is here. A lack of natural affection is here. What's going to happen? All these people are going to be doped up. It's not going to be hard. It's the spirit of Babylon. It's real. Sorcerers would administer drugs to elicit certain responses from people. Isn't that what modern-day pharmaceuticals does? Modern-day doctors are nothing more than sorcerers. Today we have a nation of zombies that are so drugged up and out of it, they don't have a clue what reality is. Many of them have opened up doorways to devils because that's the whole purpose for all these pharmaceuticals. Not from the people that give them, but the devil. You see, listen, the Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You know, and I'm not going to go into this. I've already preached on this before. Psychotropic drugs can be found in the Serpentine text. Hallucinogenics and psychedelic drugs, witches used them in ointments and love potions. There's so much there. I'm not really going to go into that. I've already preached on that. Witches concocting an ointment to be used for flying to the coven, according with an illustration from a work by a contemporary Serpentine. So there's witches put on ourselves is made up of this concoction that witches put on themselves is made up of juices of herbs that are in all extreme cold and is not as common, people say, made from the blood of the children we drown. She says, "I tell you, they are so cold that they deprive us of all senses when we spread them on ourselves. And we lie stretched out and naked on the ground, and then they say that in a fantasy everything occurs to us that appears to happen in reality. On other occasions, after applying the ointment, it seems to us that we change our form, becoming roosters, owls, crows, and we go to the place where our master awaits us. And there we take on our original form and enjoy the delights of which I have told you. My ointments give me some good times." Euphoric state, they're tripping, you know, they're out of it. Anyway, there's a lot of history that you can go study that. I'm not going to get into that, really. Shamanism is best defined as a method to open a door and enter a different reality. A shaman is someone who enters in an altered state of consciousness and goes on a journey in order to gather knowledge from a different reality populated by a spirit, the spirit of plants and animals, the divine self, both within and around the individual. The method used depends on the culture. Some cultures use drugs. Others use drumming and ecstatic dancing, and still others utilize chanting, dancing, trance, meditation, wine, fasting, vision, quest, and sexuality. So understand, the shamans know how to open up that third eye. They know what they're doing. They use the drugs to do that. The same drugs that shamans used you know, the roots are the herbs and everything, the same herbs that they use, same things that are used by sorcerers today. That's where they get it all. You can go back and listen to that Pharmaceutical Sorcerers and, you know, find that out. You know, there's more to be said about that, could be said about that. But anyway, I think you see that that opens you up to devils, okay? That taking those drugs, pharmaceutical giants who produce drugs, I want to give you this comment, like Zoloft, Prozac, Paxil, spend about $2.4 billion a year. Spend about $2.4 billion a year on a direct to consumer television advertising every year by running negative stories about the prescription drugs. Networks risk losing tens of millions of dollars and ad revenue, which is undoubtedly one of the primary reasons why the connection is habitually downplayed. See, it's all about the money, friend. You say, why don't they worry about anything else? Why don't they care about these children dying? Why is it against the NRA? Why is everything against it? I'll tell you why. Because at the end of the Bible, what does the Bible say the end times sins will be? It says, and the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. The trafficking that Satan does, going to and fro and walking up and down in it. He traffics men. And he traffics them with drugs. And these drugs are opening up people to the devil, to the world of the dead, to the spirit realm. Satan is that prince of the power of the air. What's the answer for this? Here's the answer, friend. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. I'm not telling anybody how to get off psychotropics. I'm not a doctor. But I will tell you this, you need physician assistance to try to get off of those. You need to go to a good doctor that understands that, but you shouldn't be on those drugs. If you're a Christian, you shouldn't be on any mind-altering drugs like that. You should not be taking those drugs. You know, you shouldn't be. You don't need those. You need Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what you need. Secondly, let me tell you, if you're lost, you need to be born again by the Spirit of God. Look, Jesus is the only one that can make you whole. He made the maniac of Gadara whole. And He can make you whole. Voices and all those other things that people talk about hearing, I believe you're hearing them because they're devils. And I believe if you repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He delivers you from darkness. He translates you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, to the Lord's kingdom, to Jesus' kingdom. Right? But you must repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must be born again. You must admit that this is sorcery, this is witchcraft, and you've participated in it, and God hates it. You must repent and believe the gospel. You must understand that you are a sinner, guilty before God, and you deserve to die and go to a devil's hell for all of eternity. And except you repent, you shall all likewise perish, the Bible says. You must repent and believe the gospel. You must turn from your sins. Turn from your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible says repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe the gospel today and be saved by the grace of God. And He'll heal you from the mental disorders, the mental problems, the psychotic things. And He'll close up that third eye. He'll close up that pineal gland that's been opened through drugs and abuse and everything else. He'll save your soul if you'll believe the gospel, if you'll repent. And Jesus will take away your sins. And He'll make you whole again. Jesus died and was buried and rose again the third day. Come to Christ today. That's the answer. This is Pastor Cooley with OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota.